Getting to work early meant she could have everything set out in the council chambers. Briefing notes, stationery, refreshments, audiovisual equipment. By 9:15, at the latest. That could give her time for a coffee and a few leisurely minutes of small talk with her arriving colleagues, before catching up on paperwork left over from Friday and emails that had stacked up over the weekend. She knew that if she and Darren ever took the plunge and moved in together, their different attitudes to time management, and indeed to the way they ran their lives in general, was something they would have to address. She half suspected his chaotic nature was one of the main things she found attractive about him, but how would that work long term, she wasn't sure. Her hope was that their different natures would complement one another, but her niggling worry was that they might very quickly drive each other round the bend. Much as Kirsty found Darren's recklessness exhilarating, at heart, she was a list maker, a 5-year plan sort of girl. She couldn't cope with instability. She liked to know not only where she was going, but exactly how she was going to get there. BMA House was an impressive building, beautiful even. It was neoclassical Palladian in style. Its designer, Sir Edwin Lutyens, had described it as Renaissance in deference to Sir Christopher, and in the sunlight, the Portland stone and red brick facade gleamed like new. Not only was the sun shining on this October day, but it was also unseasonably warm. Sporting large brown sunglasses, a cream cotton suit and pale green blouse, Kirsty felt elegant, sophisticated, as she stepped from the car. All she needed was a wide-brimmed sun hat, and she fancied she resembled one of those willowy diplomats' wives from back in the day when Britain had an empire. She could see herself surveying the Serengeti Plains with a cocktail in her right hand, or strolling through the markets in New Delhi. "Morning, Miss Reese," said Adam, the doorman, after buzzing her in. She always liked the way he tipped the brim of his cap with his forefinger, ironic but playful, as if he was acknowledging that he looked like a performing monkey but was happy to share the joke. He was a beautiful, angular man with a smoothly shaven head and a tuft of dark hair, too slight to be termed a goatee, beneath his bottom lip. At weekends, he attended fetish clubs with his statuesque girlfriend, Helda. Kirsty's feet clanked on the marble floor as she approached the great hall. Her first task was to collect the agenda and handouts for that morning's meeting, which she had left carefully stacked on the chairman of the Medical Ethics Committee's desk before heading off for the weekend. The Great Hall was a magnificent room, 130 feet in length. It had been converted into the main library in the mid-1980s. The high ceiling was supported by rows of peacock blue marble columns, and the various committee rooms occupying the roof space were accessed by a number of elegant spiral staircases.